We're in this world, but admonished by our Lord not to be part of it. But since God is sovereign, since God ruleth over all, since nothing takes place without His permission or His direction, and since His Word treats of the world and world conditions, we do well to give heed to the Word of God concerning today and concerning tomorrow. Remembering that everything in the Old Testament, according to Paul, took place, was brought to pass as types, examples for us upon whom the ends of the age are come. Today the world seems to revolve around thoughts of Russia, China, communism, Arabian oil, the part the United States has in world affairs. And God in Ezekiel 38 and 39 has revealed much concerning Russia, the Arabians, communism, their relationship to us, our relationship to them. Notice, if you will, in Ezekiel 38, we do well to ponder the first few words, "And the word of the Lord came unto me." This is the word of the Lord with which we're dealing. This is not the word of our State Department. This is not the word of politicians or statesmen, so-called. This is the word of the Lord. And he says here, "Son of man," speaking to Ezekiel, "set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog." Gog is the name of the man. The land of Magog is the territory of his dominion. "Now set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief princes of Meshach and Tubal," or as the American Standard Version says, "set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, against Rosh, and the chief princes of Meshach and Tubal." Now, turn to Genesis chapter 10, and let's see if we can identify these of whom Ezekiel is recording the revelation of God. Genesis chapter 10. This is a very, very important chapter, because this is the only place in the world where we have a genealogy of the human race showing its origin and distribution. This is it. "Now these are the generations of the son of Noah: Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Unto them were sons born after the flood. The sons of Japheth: Gomer, Magog, Madai, Javan, Tubal, Meshech, and Tyrus. They're all sons of Japheth." If you remember history as we have studied it in the Bible, after the flood, While the earth was still one piece, the sons of Japheth migrated to the north. The sons of Shem scattered across the central part of the earth. And the sons of Ham were scattered across the southern part of the earth. Now here in Ezekiel, he's talking about Gog and the land of Magog, which was settled by the sons of Japheth to the north. Three different times in Ezekiel 38 and 39, we have the expression of location set forth, in which it says, from the uttermost part of the north. In the King James translation, it speaks of the north parts and the northern parts, but the literal translation is uttermost part of the north. Saying this to locate this nation of which we are studying. Directions in Scripture relative to Jerusalem. And you can take a straight edge and place it on the North Pole for one point, and Jerusalem for the other point. And if your map is correct, it'll go straight through the city of Moscow. Russia occupies the uttermost part of the north. Now, Meshach and Tubal are the names of the two modern cities, Tobolsk and Moscow. For a while, and it still may be that way, this was the only nation in the world that had two capitals, European capital, Moscow, and Asiatic capital, Tobolsk. Now, here, God says, set thy face against Gog and the land of Magog. That is, set thy face against Russia and the dictator of Russia. That's the word of God. In the third verse, God says, I am against thee, O ruler of the land of Magog. I'm against thee, dictator of Russia and all of your country. I'm against the chief prince of Moscow and Tobolsk in King James, Meshach, and Tubal. Now, we notice in the fourth verse, he tells Gog of the land of Magog to gather all his horses and horsemen. A phenomenon of history is to be found in the fact that's estimated that over 3/4 of the horse flesh of the world is in Russia and under Russian dominion. In 1918, in the town in which I was born and reared in Central Texas, in 1918, I can remember the activity taking place at the horse and the mule barn. And when my father learned of the activity and told us, a large contingent of Russians had even come to that little town in Central Texas buying horses. And horse buyers and horse traders came for miles around bringing them. Russians scoured the world after World War I buying a particular type of horse. And they've kept on buying them. They've kept on breeding and developing them. And they have a corner on the market of horse flesh. Here it says in verse 4, I will turn thee back. I will put hooks into thy jaws, and I will bring thee forth. Many have wondered and pondered the question, why has not Russia invaded the land of Israel? I've told you before, and I'll repeat, they haven't invaded Israel because they are afraid of Israel. And they're trying to get the Arab states to pull their chestnuts out of the fire, so to speak, as far as Israel is concerned. Russia is like a comic strip of years ago when somebody, now whether it was Snuffy or Barney Google, I don't know. That was back in the days when you weren't ashamed to bring comic strips home and read them. But back in those days, either Barney or Snuffy was always saying, let you and him fight. And Russia is saying to the Arabs, let you and Israel fight. Russia is afraid of Israel. Every other nation is afraid of Israel because deep-seated within them is a conviction born of experience that there's a higher power watching over Israel. And they're afraid, though they do make inroads, and they do make their attacks upon her. But Russia is not going to invade Israel. I'm talking the Word of God. Russia is not going to invade Israel until God Almighty pulls her in there. Look, I'll turn thee back, God speaking. I'll put hooks in your jaws like one would handle a pachyderm, like one would handle a fierce bear with hooks in their jaws so they can control every movement. Now I'm going to put hooks in Russia's jaws and I'm going to pull her down into Israel. And she's not going. And when she goes, she's going to be resisting God. He's going to have to pull her. He says, I will bring thee forth, all thine army, all the horses and horsemen, all of that bunch. And he comes on down through here in the sixth verse, many people with thee. Now, Russia, in the spread of communism, has disturbed many Americans. There are those with mighty radio and television programs that constantly warn us of the day of the invasion of the United States by Russia. That's not in the Word of God. It's not in the Word of God. Russia has her eye on one particular territory. And those of you who remember when I first came here and began speaking along this line, 1951, that came into my possession as I spoke to the Rotary Club in a small town in West Texas, a copy of Fortune magazine, August of 1951. The reason that was given to me was because I had spoken along this line to the Rotary Club. And having spoken about Russia, one of the men brought me this, said, Preacher, you'll be interested in this. One great big article with maps on several pages. It said, the focal point of Russia's aspirations. That's when the United States, England, Russia, Germany, trying to work a peace that they hoped would be lasting. Russia said, we will enter into these negotiations on one condition. And one condition alone, that you three world powers recognize and acknowledge that the center of our hopes and ambitions is in the territory lying south of Batum and Baku, or the Black Sea and the Caspian Sea. We want that territory. You look at that territory, which is the land of Israel and the land of the Arabians, you find the three things that Russia wanted. She still wants. And there, the center of her aspirations and hopes, she wants the wealth, mineral and chemical, of the Dead Sea. Estimated to be greater than all of the wealth of the natural resources of the world. Number two, we want the oil reserves under the sands of the Arabian desert. Number three, we want a warm weather port. They wanted access to the Mediterranean Sea. They still want those three things. They don't want our country. They're not interested in our country. They're about to render our country powerless with their propaganda. I read after Marx, in which it was described how communism would conquer the Western world without ever setting a foot in it, militarily speaking. You won't believe where they were going to center their attack. They were going to center their attack upon the directors of religious education in the churches of America. The director of religious education. And the directors of the religious education have turned the Sunday schools away from the Word of God to the writings and teachings of man. They've emasculated the Sunday schools and thereby the churches also, and have left them powerless because they have not the Word of God. Another focal point of attack was going to be upon the family. They would do away with the family. And the family life is almost a thing of the past. Almost a thing of the past. What used to be the home is just a storehouse, a short order place, a place where you check in and go on. Communism. But they're not going to send an army into this country. Now, let me show you something here. Russia, the Arabians, the oil of the Arabians. This passage which I read tells us that the Arabians are going to line up with Russia. All of our hopes and plans to curry favor with the Arabians will come to naught because they're going with Russia. We read of them here in the fifth verse. Persia, Ethiopia, Libya, Gomer, Togarmah, all of their quarters, all of that territory is going to be part of Russia. Now, when God brings Russia in, He's going to do it this way. Look in verse 10. It shall come to pass that at the same time shall things come into thy mind, and thou shalt think an evil thought. God's going to stimulate their thinking, and He's going to stir them up to where they think they can go in and take it over. That's part of the hook that God has in her jaw. Now, Russia is going to invade Palestine one day. Russia. It's in the Word of God. The greatest massing of Russian forces today is on the borders of the land of Israel. And in a minute's notice, they could overrun the land of Israel. But they're not going until God pulls on those hooks and draws them in. Now, when they go in, they're going in to take over that land. They want the minerals and chemicals of the Dead Sea, fertilizing the steppes, all of the great plains. They need the oil for the operation of their mechanical form of livelihood. And they want this warm water and warm weather port so the ships can go in and out in commerce. And they're getting ready to go in. Now, let me show you. Let me show you how that communism is not going to spread into this country and take over. We read here. We'll look at verse 12. They're coming in to take a spoil, to take a prey, to turn thine hand upon the desolate places that are now inhabited, upon the people that are gathered out of the nations, which have gotten cattle and goods that dwell in the midst of the land. Now Sheba, Dedan, the merchants of Tarshish, with all the young lions thereof, shall say unto thee, art thou come to take a spoil? Hast thou gathered thy company to take a prey, to carry away silver and gold, to take away cattle and goods, to take a great spoil? Sheba and Dedan identified as two countries there to the south of the land, the merchants of Tarshish. The merchants of Tarshish. I haven't time to go into it this morning, but Tarshish of the Bible is England or Great Britain of world governments today. Tarshish, the Isle of Tarshish, the Isle of Tin, the Isle of Britain. When Jonah caught a ship to Tarshish, he was catching a ship that would go to England, which was then the farthest most point to which ships out of Israel had gone. And the interesting thing there is that when the apostles arrived on the island of Great Britain, they found Christian civilization already existing, already gone ahead of them. Tarshish is England. Now, England, with all the young lions thereof, the young lions of England, the United States, Canada, Australia, New Zealand. They're the young lions. Britain is the old lion. And these are her cubs. Now, England and her cubs are going to say to Russia, what are you doing? England, the United States, Canada, New Zealand, Australia are going to be existing as governments as they are today. Not communistic, not invaded by Russia, but they're going to remonstrate with Russia when she invades Israel. What are you doing? Why are you doing this? Our State Department remonstrates with a number of them. This so-called human rights program should be in full swing, and they could come in and enter the human rights. Why are you doing this? You're violating human rights, etc., and on down the line. But that's the situation. Now get it. The Arabian states with Russia, and I doubt not but what China will find her place in there somewhere. I don't find her referred to here just now. We find her referred to in other scriptures as the kings of the East. These four great kings stand up. The one out of the north, the one out of the south, the one coming out of the western country dominated by the ten power kingdom. And then we have the kings out of the east, Japan and China and India, all converging on God's land, Israel. But all of the Arabian states with Russia, they're going to form one great company. They're going to move down. The United States and England and Canada, Australia, New Zealand, according to this passage of Scripture, will continue as separate and distinct nations, and they will remonstrate with Russia. You shouldn't do that. Well, that's all they have to do. God is going to deal with Russia. It's not up to me to worry about Russia. Russian communism can go as far as God permits and no farther. God has determined beforehand the time that a nation arises, and He has set the boundaries beyond which that nation cannot and will not go. Russia's movements are in the hands of God. And He's bringing things to an end. Things are getting worse and worse, many people say. Maybe they will. Maybe they are. Maybe things have to get so bad that we'll all of us be crying, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Maybe we'll be crying for that. I don't know. We're too complacent now as we await the return of the Lord. But they're going in. Russia, mindful somehow or other that Israel is the apple of God's eye, reminiscing possibly that no weapon that's ever formed against Israel has prospered, feeling within herself that when she goes into the land of Israel, her days are numbered. Now, Russia's going in against her will, against the land of Israel. I watch elevation of men to positions of power, and then the putting out of office of these men. And I remember that men in the positions of state are but pawns on the chessboard of the world as God moves them to accomplish His purpose. I watch men in our State Department. I watch them in other countries. They're here, they're gone, but they're moved by God. I never worry, honestly, I never worry about putting one in. I never worry about putting one out. I just leave that to the Lord. You know what He told me to do about all of these in office? He said, pray for them. Well, you too, pray for them. That's what He said. Oh, it's so much fun the other way, isn't it? To take over the office of God and put them in and put them out, that's more fun than praying for them. Well, let it go. The day's coming. Russia's going in. Now, when? We don't know. Now, some contend that it's a long time off because it says here that Israel is going to be at peace and at rest and no walls. They have forgotten that with God all things are possible and He could speak peace over that country and these conditions could prevail tomorrow or today. They could prevail in a minute's notice. God's not bound by man's clock nor by man's time. God can change these things, take place any time. But I do believe this from my whole heart and soul, that the Russian invasion of Israel could take place just before, simultaneous with, or just after the rapture. It's got to be close to the rapture, because the destruction wrought by God is going to be such that it'll take the children of Israel 7 years to gather up the weapons that are left on the battlefield and dispose of them. 7 years. That's the 7 years between the rapture and the return of the Lord to the earth. So for that to be 7 years, this invasion must take place at the beginning of the 7 years. Whether before or after, simultaneous with the rapture, I don't know. It's immaterial. But they're going in. Now I want you to look. Verse 18. You do well to study each word. It shall come to pass at that same time, or at the same time, when God shall come against the land of Israel, saith the Lord God, that my fury shall come up in my face. My fury shall come up in my face. God is going to become angry. God is going to become wrathful. Because of the attitude toward and treatment of His chosen people, Israel. Now, God has a purpose in the existence of Russia, just as He did in the existence of Pharaoh and his host as they came out of Egypt. You recall that when Moses went to Pharaoh, demanded the release of the children of Israel, Pharaoh says, I know not God. Who is he? I will not let the children of Israel go. And so Pharaoh and his host existed for the mighty powerful illustration of God upon them, of his wrath toward one or others against his people Israel. Pharaoh and his host became an example of what God will do to those who despise and hate his people. Now God has brought Russia into existence, brought her along the path she's traveled till today, for the primary purpose of showing to Israel that he, Jehovah, is God, and secondarily to show to the Gentile nation of the world that he is God. Is there a God? Do you believe there is a God? Has he revealed himself to his creature? Is he interested in his creature? Does he love his creature? Yes, there is a God. And he has revealed his will to us, and it's in this book. These are letters from God to you and to me. He revealed his love to us in that he gave his only begotten Son to die for us. God says, I'm going to demonstrate to the whole world, on Russia, that I am God. And not only Israel, but all the Gentile nations of the world will know that I'm God. Look in the 19th verse. For in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath have I spoken. Surely in that day, the day when Russia is led by God into the land of Israel, there will be a great shaking in the land of Israel. There will be a great earthquake. The fishes of the sea, the fowls of the heaven, the beasts of the field, the creeping things that creep upon the earth, all the men that are upon the face of the earth shall shake at my presence. The mountains shall be thrown down. The steep places shall fall. Every wall shall fall to the ground. Look at it. That is actually going to happen when Russia moves into Israel. 21. I'll call for a sword against him throughout all my mountains, saith the Lord. Every man's sword shall be against his brother. He's going to put the Russians to slaying each other. I'll plead against him with pestilence and with blood. All kinds of diseases and epidemics. Talk about your Asian flu. Talk about your German flu. Talk about the bubonic plague. Talk about pestilences. Blood. I'll rain upon him and upon his bands. And upon the many people that are with him, an overflowing rain. Great hailstones, fire and brimstone. Why? Thus will I magnify myself. Oh, puny man today that says, if there be a God, why doesn't he do something? If there be a God, why are things thus with me? And why are things thus with you? If there be a God, one day God's going to demonstrate to the whole universe on the powerful nation of Russia and the Arabs combined. He's going to demonstrate on all of them that he is God. I'll magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations or Gentiles, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Look, if you will, the next chapter. Therefore, thou son of man, prophesy against Gog the head of Russia. And you tell him, not only the head of Russia, but he's the head of all of the Arabian states and all of the rest of them that come to him. Behold, I am against thee, O God, chief prince of Meshach and Tubal. I'll turn thee back and leave but the sixth part of thee. God Almighty is going to destroy 5/6 of all of the Russians, all of the Arabs, all of those aligned. Not only the Arabs, but those in the northern part of Africa. They're all going to be lined up with Russia, and God Almighty is going to destroy 5/6 of them. The prophecy of Joel tells us that the six that remain, 5/6 destroyed there, the sixth that remain will be sent into exile into Siberia, in the camps which the Russians are now using for exiles. And that will be the end of Russia. That'll be the end of the Arabian oil cartel. That'll be the end of all of those things. Listen, there is a God. Each passing day, I see things that remind me more forcibly than ever before of the existence of a God. The Lord Jesus Christ is His only begotten Son. He gave Himself to die for us that we might live. Now, beloved, I believe according to the Word of God, the only thing that stands between us and the return of the Lord is the salvation of one or more Gentiles. Because we're told in the Word of God that He is gathering out of the Gentiles a people for His name. And when He has gathered the last Gentile, when the fullness of the Gentiles has come in, then He turns to the nation of Israel. When the fullness of the Gentiles has come in, then the rapture takes place. And the last Gentile, that last Gentile might be saved in this service this morning. He might be saved in some other service. The last Gentile to be saved. Moody was encouraged in his preaching by thinking possibly in this service tonight the last Gentile will be saved and will be caught up to be with the Lord. That's all that's standing between us and the Lord. The sands in our glass of time are running out. It's almost 2 days since our Lord left. And He said after 2 days He's coming back. Maybe the last hour of the 2000th year will be the day. We don't know. But He's coming. He's got everything in this world under control. You needn't fret and worry about Russia, China, Israel, the Arabian states, or just commit thy way unto the Lord and trust also in Him, knowing that He's able and He'll keep you. God has never forsaken His people. Rejoice, rejoice, you saints of God. God's on His throne and all is well. I'm one of His. You belong to the Lord. Have you accepted Christ as your Savior? What must I do to be saved? Nothing. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Man or woman or boy or girl here this morning without faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I beg of you for Christ's sake, accept Him as your Savior. Make a public confession of your faith. Walk this aisle and say, Brother Wilson, I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Follow Him in the beautiful ordinance of baptism. Affiliate yourself with the church that your testimony and witness might be known and be beneficial to others. We're going to stand and sing two standards of our invitational hymn, just as I